Welcome. Welcome to the Emmy Louie Show. I am Emmy Louie, and today's guest is Cheryl Neal. Over the past 15 years, Cheryl Neal has inspired, motivated, and coached thousands of women to develop and implement change plans to create work and lives they love. She holds a BA in Education and Human Development from the George Washington University and is pursuing an MA in Transpersonal Studies from Atlantic University. Cheryl is a professional member of the National Speakers Association, an image consultant, and is certified to facilitate purpose, mission, vision, and goal-setting sessions. Her work has been featured in the Washington Post, Essence, Black Enterprise, and on MoneyWise on PBS. Welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Cheryl, the last few times we have talked, we've spoken over the broadcast, and we've spoken quite a few things, and just to recap what we talked about, our own experiences and how that has guided us in our lives. We've talked about almost with childlike approaches, I would describe that, as far as feeling like a teenager and our love for education, as well as finding your perfect work and doing what you do well, what you enjoy, and what people pay you to do. So those were some of the many things that we talked about. And not just the topic is really that was fascinating to me, but it was the way that how you approached it with a very light manner.
Hmm.
And I noticed that continuity between listening to the first and second time and third time that we talked over the broadcast, as far as just a very simple and light approach. And we can talk more about that today, and as well as today's astrological forecast, or let's hear it today. What's going on?
Oh, today we are having, there is a solar eclipse today.
So happy solar eclipse, right?
What did you say?
You said earlier, happy solar eclipse.
Happy solar eclipse.
Is that correct?
Yes. A solar eclipse is a very, 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 very powerful new moon. The new moon is the beginning of the lunar cycle for each month has a lunar cycle. This is all based on the lunar calendar versus the solar calendar, which our calendars are based on, the ones we use. But beginning things along with the new moon allows you to be in alignment with that energy of beginning and starting. And so a new moon is a good time to begin and start new things. But now a solar eclipse is like a new moon to the 100th power, or maybe the 1,000th power. It's much, much, much more powerful. Generally, the lunar cycle we feel for a month. For a solar eclipse, we start feeling it months in advance, and its impacts last for several months after the actual event.
Good. So anything else as far as our forecast? So this is a phase that was happening for the next few months and this summer.
Yes. And it's the solar eclipse is in Leo. So Leo is a sign that's about expression and creativity and fun, if you will, and being out there, being in front.
And fun is a great place to start.
Yes, fun. Fun is always a great place to start.
Fun is a great place to start. And I noticed that when we were talking, isn't that lightness? There's a certain lightness that you exude. And I feel that when I listen to these recordings, and then I was thinking, of course, my left brain or my argumentative brain says, well, because I said something like how it's hard to do something, and you said, well, nothing is hard. You just got to take it in a light way if you want to take it that way. And I thought to myself, well, what are you going to say to people who have quote-unquote adult positions in life where they might be in the military or they might have executive positions and quite a few people are relying on them to put bacon on, butter on the table, or money on, or to hold up the family and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any, what do you say to those people? To lighten up?
What'd you say?
What do you say to those people?
Well, you know, the beauty of
life. In other words, it's like, sometimes people don't like to grow up, and then it's like, and then we are being adults, and I don't know if most adults want to be adults in a lot of ways.
No, I don't think most adults want to be adults, but I think we feel lots of pressure to be adults, to be grown up and serious, and to equivalent, you know, to make adulthood being grown up equivalent to being, to not having fun. And I don't think most people want to do that, but here's the beauty of life. Each person gets to choose how they want to do it. If they want to be serious and concerned and upset and worried, you know, you get to choose that. We have that power of choice. And so whatever you choose, that's what you get. You know what I mean? You get what you expect to get. So if you expect things to be difficult, they will be. If you expect them to be easy, they will be. It's really that simple. So I don't really say much to them except that, it's, you know, as Phil McGraw says, how's that working for you? If it's working for you to be serious and worried and concerned, then by all means, have at it. Doesn't work for me.
That sounds very simple, isn't it?
It pretty much is, because we all have choice. You know, that's the real power we have, is choice. And even when we think we're not choosing and not deciding, we're still making a choice not to choose or not to decide. So the folks that want to be serious can be, and the ones who want to play can do that as well. It's really that simple.
Yeah. Because I often think of, I think of very... For example, like I think about people that work in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
like doctors and all that, and how there's life and death situations. I guess so. I mean, I guess so. You really have to almost uneducate yourself in a lot of ways.
Yes. You know, or you make new choices.
Yeah.
It's about making new choices. I mean, that to me, that's what adulthood and maturity is really about. It's really about understanding what you know and where you've come from and how that's helping you and how the choices you're making are helping you or not. And if they're not, to become aware of those and to make those changes that you want to make. But choosing to be stuck is as valid a choice as choosing to move forward.
Well, that's good for you, because we often get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And even this is a great example of, I want to share with you, is that I heard that Picasso or Miro was a very, they're very great artists.
Mm-hmm.
And some critics would say, well, these people, these artists, they paint like children. Like,
yes.
Miro, I mean, looks like chicken scratch or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the argument was, well, if you were 80 years old, could you paint like a child?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the miracle about it, was that they were still children when they were 80 years old.
Yes, they were still childlike, as opposed to childish. And childlike, you know, of course, has to do with bringing that innocence to something and the fun and the experimentation. I mean, you know, when we were all children, we didn't think twice about how something might be received or who would think or what people would think about whatever we did. We just did it. And there's good stuff in that, going back to that place, because we still have it within us. We still have our childlike selves within us. And the issue is, you know, are we going to leave it buried or are we going to bring it out? And bringing it out really helps us to move forward and helps us to feel freer about what it is we want to do next and not so worried about how it's going to be received. You know, and that Leo of this solar eclipse is about that creativity and experimenting and playing and recreating and hobbying and all of those things that, you know, you associate with the child in us.
Good. Good. So what are you doing for vacation then?
Well, for me...
Or traveling or whatever it is. Or
for me, my life is set up so that, now in this time, I am so grateful, that I don't really need vacation. You know, I used to, the first time when I left my good government job, I was speaking yesterday to a group, and I was talking about...
Yes, how did that go?
Oh, it was so fabulous!
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that, but since you brought it up first...
Oh, my gosh, it was so fabulous. But I was talking to them about that, and... Oh, shoot, what did you say that I was starting to respond?
Oh, I said there are two questions basically we're talking about is what are you doing for vacation? And you said you don't vacation or something like that. And then you mentioned the Women's Executive Forum.
Right, right, right. The vacation piece was coming out of, you know, once I left that job, you know, I thought the first thing I'm going to do is, you know, go on vacation. And when I set up my business, I'm going to have lots of vacation time and so forth. And it's interesting because, of course, that's the mindset of being at a job where you don't really, either you're working too long, too hard, too much, or you're just not happy about being there or whatever. That's what drives the desire for vacation. You know, 20 years later, I can't believe I left there 20 years ago, my life is designed so that I integrate play and work. And so vacation is generally something you do to get away from your work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you have your life designed the way you want, you vacate today, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you maybe work next week. You know what I mean? So it's not such a big deal to plan a getting away. But my husband and I do these cruises, these jazz cruises. And
mm-hmm. So you're going to go for next one, another one?
Yeah, so, yeah, and that seems to be an annual thing that he wants to do. I think he wants to do both of them every year. But this year we're going, our next one is in November.
Well, have a good time.
Thank you.
That sounds fantastic. Two cruises a year, I that's great.
Yes.
Oh.
And then he was planning something, he was looking at an Alaska trip for our anniversary. But that's not going to work. Because our anniversary is just 9 days after my birthday, which is in September, and it's right around the corner now, but today is August 1st. So, and we're working on getting him relocated and all that stuff, so.
Mm-hmm. Good. So how was the Women's Executive Forum?
It was really, really, really wonderful. We had a practically sold-out house. The room was full. They had to get extra chairs. And it was just fabulous. It was wonderful. It was really, really, I had a great time. And the women there had a great time. There were about 60 women there.
Oh, that sounds great. Why don't we take a break right now, and then
okay.
You can tell us all about it. I'm here with Coach Cheryl Neal. I am Emmy Louie, and we'll be back. Cheryl Neal, and Cheryl's going to tell us about her speaking engagement at the Women's Executive Forum. Tell me about it.
Oh, yes. It was very, very exciting. First of all, I was able to do one of my favorite topics, which is creating the life you love.
Good.
And they had, as I said, a practically sold-out program, so that meant the audience was interested in the topic as well. And it was just fabulous. It worked out perfectly. They were anxious and ready to talk about the subject. We had people who had said they had no idea what they really wanted in their lives, and through some exercises with the group as a whole, they were able to see in a few seconds that they really did know. Because sometimes when people say they don't know what they really want, first of all, everybody really knows what they really want. It's a matter of the adult, if you will, going back to what we were talking about earlier, giving permission for that child who wants that stuff to speak. And so a lot of times what I'll do is I'll start with, you know, what is it that you don't want? You know, what's in your life now that you'd like to move out? And, I mean, within seconds, she had told us what she did really want.
Oh, so you actually pointed out some people?
Oh, yes.
Put them on the spot, so to speak?
Right. When I speak, my speaking is always interactive. It's more like a mini workshop.
Yes.
And so I involve people right away. And I carry out the session that way. That's my ideal way to speak. And that's exactly what the event planner wanted when she approached me. She said, I don't want PowerPoint presentation. I want something very personable and personal and something interactive, because we always get those, you know, great, wonderful, beautiful presentations, but we want our people to be really involved in the presentation, and that's what happened from the very beginning. It was excellent. I offered folks a chance to sign up for a complimentary session afterwards, the first 20, and 10 people came up to start a sign-up sheet. The others, you know, the announcement was for people to email me or call me. So
good.
Very, very, very well received.
Good. I also, when I do classes, I love to use people as examples, because
mm-hmm.
that's when the learning really starts, and to see the aha moments.
Exactly. And I mean, that's a, you know, 101 ABC or for, you know, for doing programs with adults. You know, adults have experience and they bring that to the training and they really want to participate. And I think the job of the facilitator is to make sure that participation happens. And then when you make that connection one-on-one with someone, you know, that's what it's all about. It's connecting. And it's what, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're talking to someone one-on-one or you're speaking one to a group. It's about connecting with the people who are in the audience, and so that you're the audience as well, and they're the facilitator as well. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So what was the flavor of the audience? Where were people at?
What were they what? Say
where
that
were
again.
They at? You know, where, as far as, I'm just curious where people were at in their lives or things like that.
I'll tell you one thing that I found very interesting. We did a short exercise where people identified those things that they were most concerned about in their lives.
Yes.
And then after we did that, what I generally do is, you know, give out a question or an assignment and give folks like 2 or 3 minutes. I don't take much time because I want them to get at what's right on the top of their mind instead of having time, as you said, for that left brain to come in and analyze and say, no, that's not the answer, this is the answer. And so in a couple of minutes, you know, I ended that session and I asked people, you know, what did you come up with? And got feedback from a couple, 2, 3 people in the room. And one woman asked a question. She said, I wonder how many people brought up finances, because it turned out
that, you know what, I was about to mention that today.
What?
Finances.
Yeah. And
okay, that's fine.
They raised their hands and almost, oh, I would say 90% of the women in the group, finances was a concern. So, you know, that's where they were. And also they were at the place of, you know, the superwoman, we used to call it some years back, where, you know, they're, you know, career women. These are executives, association executives. So they're career women. You know, they're, many of them are married or in relationships, so they have that piece. You know, they have children, many of them. They may have a business on the side. So balance was a big issue as well, you know. And the fact that I can't do this and I can't do that for myself, because, of course, I'm talking about, well, where's your me time? Because if you don't have that time where you're taking care of yourself and staying centered, you're going to be pulled off balance all the time by all the many things that are going on in your life and in the world. And, you know, so I got folks who are resistant to, you know, taking time, well, I can't do that. I can't do that because if I don't work 80 hours a week, you know, then we won't be able to afford the house. And if we can't afford the house, then I won't be able to do, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, so that's where some of them were. And then others were at the place of, yes, I know how important it is, especially as women, because we tend to do so many things for others, to take the time to do things for ourselves. And I'm telling them, you know, it only takes 10 minutes by yourself to breathe, you know, or relax in the tub, or meditate or yoga or whatever makes, you know, makes you happy. I talk to them about having fun and scheduling having fun and play into your planner, just like you schedule a business meeting.
I've often wondered about the scheduling the fun, because, and I don't know if you're entering into the stage or have experienced this.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a woman's night out, there tends to be, that's what I would think is like a fun activity.
Okay.
And at the same time, how do you have a women's night out without seeming like you are having, it's kind of, what am I saying? It has to do with the dynamics. That's actually a bad example. Let me give you another example.
Okay.
It has to do with dancing. And I'm actually have this, I don't know if what you would call the problem or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking dancing lessons, and my husband's taking dancing lessons. At the same time, I have more skill in dancing than he does. So sometimes I wish I could just go to a dance and dance with whomever,
mm-hmm.
whomever wants to dance. At the same time, there's this whole element of sexuality in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, well, you don't want to seem like you're being loose and all that. So,
yes.
So I just wish that people would just have fun and have fun without this whole thing like, oh, I want to get in bed with you or something like that.
Yes. Well, you know, you can create that for yourself.
Yeah.
And because it's out there. There are people out there. There are men out there who want to dance to have fun.
I know there are.
So if that's what you want, then that's a good thing to focus your attention on. Because, you know, that's what I was talking about yesterday. You know, in order to have the life you want, in order to have what you really want, first of all, you have to be clear with yourself about what it is. And once you know what it is, in as much detail as you know you want it to be like, then the next thing is you have to put energy into it. And so there are many ways to put energy into it. You know, and I talked about writing about it or doing a treasure map. I think people call it vision boards today, you know, where you collect images and words that represent what you're wanting to create in your life, and you put that on a poster board or something and just put it up. You know, and you can imagine yourself in the situation and so forth. But as you put your energy into what it is that you want, you will find, if you can be aware of what's happening around you, that there are people around you already who are resources for that going out fun dancing that's non-sexual. That's just the fun of dancing. You know? You already know people who can help you with that, who are resources for that. So what your job is to focus on that that's what you want. And if there's a challenge with you and your husband about that, then have a conversation about it and, you know, tell him what you're looking for or whatever you need to do to make sure that that relationship, of course, is respected and honored. And then just go for it because it's out there.
Actually, I was talking to some other people that like to go dancing, and they were mentioning that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering how people negotiate having an interaction with the opposite sex that's outside of work,
mm-hmm.
and outside of home life.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of times it is in an environment where, you know, where you share an interest. And, you know, dancing can be an interest or art or whatever it is. I know for me, I really love to dance. And
so do you have that issue or you, what I'm talking about?
No.
Because
I have a place where I can go dance and... Here's the way I deal with that. I really like to do what's called a DC hand dancing.
What is that?
It's a form of swing dance. Swing being...
Okay, exactly. Something like that. That's correct.
Right. Swing dance where you actually hold hands and dance.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Like ballroom dancing, anything like that, where you need a partner.
Right,
and
right.
There's a female-male component.
Exactly, exactly. I grew up doing this kind of dance, but also I wanted to get back to it. But now I don't really like the club scene. And then
telling you about the whole club scene. And
no. Don't like the club scene. Don't like the smoking, the drinking. Don't like the hitting on.
Like
any of that.
Exactly.
And then this was before I got married. But, you know, but I found that this place where there is a club, they also teach classes. They teach hand dancing classes. 2 days a week, every week, all year long, except I think they take off a little bit in December. So what I did was I signed up for the class. I went to the class. I loved it. Now, after I graduated, you didn't have to graduate, but I went through the 12-week, 14-week, so forth. And afterwards, you know, I can go to the club, but that's not the scene I like. I like the class, so I go to the class. Once you graduate, you can just go back to any class whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And so I haven't done well at scheduling it lately, but my desire is to return to class at least once a week, because then I get what I enjoy, which is the dancing. And there's a whole structured way that the instructor, you know, has us change partners and so forth. So I get to dance with a whole lot of different men. But it's not. It's about classes and learning. It's not about, you know, the date scene.
So is it a class, or is it a class / dance, or is it a dance?
No, it's a class. This is a club that specializes in hand dancing. And so every night of the week they have, some nights of the week it's open as a club in the evening, and two nights a week, Monday and Wednesdays, from 6:30 to about 10, they have classes only. So they'll have the beginning class will start at 6:30 and run to about 8 o'clock, and then they teach line dancing in between, and then about 8:30, the intermediate class starts till about 10. So I can go and just dance in the class.
I've also wondered another thing, and mm-hmm. I don't know if you have an answer to this, but whenever I see something where there's just dancing, there's usually 99% women on the dance floor, and there's no men.
Mm-hmm. That's what I love about this class.
I mean, I'm not talking about ballroom dancing. I'm talking about like if somebody had a graduation party.
Mm-hmm.
And they had dance, they had music.
Yes.
The women would start it.
Yes. And a lot of times the women will be dancing with each other.
What's going on in the men's mind is, and I never asked, and maybe I should have asked, what's going on in the men's mind? Is it because, I don't want to look like a fool,
yeah.
or I don't want to seem like
yeah.
I'm dancing with one person?
Yeah. All of the above. All of the above.
But why do women don't mind looking like a fool?
Well, you know, we're women.
I've always wondered. There must be something totally biological about that. Why a bunch of women?
Because we,
and,
you know.
And
we,
then someone told me that men don't ever dance with other men.
Oh, no.
What's going on with that?
Oh, homophobia. Oh, someone may think that they're gay. Oh, horrors. Oh.
I don't know. I mean, you go to some other places in the world and men are holding each other's hands.
Different culture altogether.
Have you seen that before? I saw that when I went to India, and the men hold hands. And it's illegal for the women and the men to hold hands.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't hold my husband's hands, but it's the opposite.
Right. It's all cultural. It's all cultural. But in many, many cultures, men dance with men, and men dance. You know, in this culture, it's kind of hard to find men who dance.
I love that when the men dance and they do that, especially like the Mediterranean cultures,
yes.
where the men...
Yes.
I love it.
Most places on the globe, men dance.
I know.
They dance with each other.
I want that to change.
Yes, I'm working on that with you as well.
Yeah, I really want that to change because
yep.
then that energy, that male energy can be channeled more. It has
exactly.
another place to channel.
Exactly.
Because otherwise it doesn't channel.
No.
It doesn't channel. It only channels into other activities, which I highly question.
Yes.
I think that's really a big problem, actually. I really
yes.
think that's actually one of a place where it needs to change, where you would actually see a physical structural change in society
mm-hmm.
if men actually dance
mm-hmm.
with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we'll take a short break, and I'm here with Cheryl Neal, and we're talking about dancing. I'm Emmy Louie, and we'll be back. I'm Emmy Louie, and we're here with Coach Cheryl Neal, and we're talking about dancing. And the thing with dancing is that I had, when I was, my husband were taking classes, he was taking classes, and I said, actually, oh, this is what I came up with. I said that I'm taking dance classes, and I said I wanted to learn the male version because in case men were too afraid to dance,
mm-hmm.
if there were not enough men, I wouldn't mind being the male part.
Mm.
That's what I said. I said, I wouldn't mind because for Foxtrot, supposedly that's one of the most popular dances.
Okay.
And it's like a slow, you can almost dance it to any kind of slow, regular music, almost like if you were dancing in Lawrence Welk. That
mm-hmm.
show is a very just classical dance.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I wouldn't mind learning the male version. And my teacher said, oh, that sounds fine because usually there's more women than men that want to dance at any one time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, I can learn that. And then I said, and so I asked my dancing teacher, I said, it's never the opposite, is it? There's never men that would want to learn the female part and dance with another man. He goes, never, 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 don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And so I thought, wow. And he said it with such passion that men never dance with other men.
Oh,
it just,
no.
Maybe it's the ballroom dancing issue. Maybe because there is a leading and the following, and to say that you're subservient or something, that must be, maybe it's the whole context of the ballroom dancing versus some other type of dancing. Who knows?
Maybe. But I think it's dance in general. I think it's dance in general.
Because when our society is able to do that type of dancing with the men, then the society would be a different transformation. There wouldn't be as much of a hierarchical
mm-hmm.
kind of issue going on with that.
Well, you know, quite frankly, we are moving into the shift of the power, if you will, from the masculine centered to the feminine centered. So that's already happening, and that's going to, you know, result in a lot of many changes in these areas.
Well, I can't wait.
Yeah, well, it's happening now, and you can see evidence of it in other ways. Like there, if you look at the number of leaders, world leaders, you know, there are many, many more women leading countries than ever before. Of our before, what we know about and remember. So, so the shift is happening.
Yeah, that's really good. And do you have a lot of male friends? I would think you do. Versus
yeah,
female friends.
I do have several male friends. I used to say what I remembered about my life was I would go through a period where I have all these women in my life, or I go through a period where I have all these men in my life. And now it seems to kind of have settled down. But I always still have more, you know, more women in my close circle than men. But I have good male friends.
Yeah.
And I married a friend, so that's really good. My husband
yeah.
and I are friends.
Has it been different with the male-female relationship once you got married? Because I've often wondered about that. I mean,
You mean me with my male friends?
Yeah, now that you're married, does that change anything?
Well, I'm sure it's created some change. You know, my husband and I and our marriage are, you know, are very Uranian, Uranus being the planet of, you know, aha and big change and breaking from the norm. So, you know, so our marriage is a break from the. It's not a typical marriage at all. I don't think in many ways, including in that. You know, he has friends who are women, and I have friends who are men. And my friends, one male friend of mine, it was a little different for him because I think he thought that he would know if I was dating someone because we were in touch a lot, and. You know, so he was really taken aback when I announced that I was getting married. And so our friendship has been, I feel, a little strained since then. Because I think he's still dealing with the shock of, you know, me getting married. And him not knowing, you know, my husband. But other than that, my friendships with my male friends haven't changed that much. I haven't noticed a change.
Yeah, I'm also. It's also. I wonder some couples where the woman has more, the wife has more friends, and then the husband has less friends, but they're closer, or vice versa.
Mm.
And that's often. And there's also friends that like there's some friends of your husband's that you would never really talk to, but there's some friends of your husband that you would like to talk to, and it's vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that there's a different, in other words, when you add another person into the equation,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of different kind of recipes for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that there's some people that some of my girlfriends or guy friends wouldn't talk to my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some that can.
Mm-hmm.
That's often. And then I've also noticed for some couples, their friends don't even mix with their relationship.
Right.
At all.
Right.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think that's a good thing.
When it doesn't or does.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing when you have friends that don't necessarily mix with the couple, because you did have, you know, each of you had friends before you became a couple. And bringing a third person into that friendship, you know, it's like putting another ingredient into the recipe. It changes the entire recipe. Sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. And when it doesn't, I don't think that person, you know, would want to give up that friendship because it doesn't mix with the spouse. Do you know what I mean? Unless it causes a problem in the relation, in the marriage.
So use an example, like you're saying, like one of your husband's friends, and it's okay that they wouldn't want to be with you and your husband. It's okay that relationship is just with your husband.
It's difficult for me to use an example because, you know, my husband and I still are not living in the same city.
Yes.
Let alone the same house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we haven't run into that yet. I mean, it's more been a case of, you know, my friends have more of an opportunity to meet my husband, although that hasn't happened much either, because except for the wedding and the times that he's been here since then, you know, we haven't had much opportunity to be with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
We're still trying to even connect with all of my family.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the same with me, you know, when he's here, we're doing a lot of things that we need to do the short time he's going to be here for, you know, for our relationship, for the house and so forth, and our plans.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't get out to see, you know, a lot and visit with a lot of our people. But the same thing when I'm in his city, you know, we're usually taking care of business there
mm-hmm.
as well. So, you know, I've gotten to meet a couple of them here and there. He's a golfer, so I've met, you know, a couple of them. And then when he was ill and he was in hospital, you know, I met people who came, you know, friends of his who came to see him when I was there. So, you know, it's we're certainly not the average couple who, you know, gets married and lives in the same household. And then, you know, so day to day we're not hearing from the other's friends or whatever or encountering them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's difficult for me to give really an example of that. But so far, the friends of his that I've met, I really like. And so far, the friends of mine that he's met, he really likes. And I think part of that is because we're both, like, really silly and crazy, and so we have silly and crazy friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, if we were in one place and had to mix with these folks on a daily basis, not a daily basis, but on a more regular basis, maybe we would find that, you know, there would be the case where, you know, he didn't mix well or I didn't mix well, you know, with his people or whatever.
Like, for example, like, let's just say one of his friends that you knew through your husband was in the same city as you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you normally would visit his friend through your husband.
Right.
You wouldn't go and visit your friend without your husband. So
there's
that relationship right there already.
Right.
There's all these kind of, like, spidery relationships.
Yes. I guess, I don't know. I just hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
And maybe because we haven't, you know, we haven't had to deal with that. We are so, you know, I think, from my side anyway, my husband says this too, you know, we're so glad to be together as a couple. You know,
that's fantastic.
It's all that we, you know, because, you know, when we dated 30 years ago, I mean, we had a very strong connection. It just obviously was not the right time for either of us, and neither of us were ready for such a relationship, or available for that matter. But, you know, the friendship that we've maintained over the years, even though we haven't seen each other that much over the years, but we've been in touch on, you know, by phone. And even when we dated 30 years ago, he was living in another city then, so we would burn up the phone lines like mad. Well, now, thank goodness, you know, long-distance calling is free.
Wow.
Or paid for by whatever plan you're on, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we never thought that we would ever get together as a couple ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that we have for us is still so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
That even I suspect when we're in the same city, which we hope will be in the next few months, I don't know that we're going to be doing a whole lot of stuff with friends on the outside.
Yeah.
Because
we have
so much stuff to make. You know, we're like, we've got all this time to make up for.
Yeah, I know.
And both of us love to travel. So we have like 89 trillion trips planned.
Well, good, good. So we're here with Cheryl Neal, and we're talking about relationships, and I'm Emmy Louie, and we'll be back. Welcome back. I am Emmy Louie. You're listening to the Emmy Louie Show, and we're talking about having fun with relationships. That sounds so exciting. I'm actually going to Hawaii, Cheryl, in a few weeks, so I'm really excited about that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. That place has been calling me for several years now.
Oh, really? Has it called you?
Yes, it has. And I have a good friend who just relocated there last year, and her daughter's graduating in January, so I'm going there for the graduation in January.
Are you really in January?
I am. Yes.
Oh, good for you.
Yes. And then my husband actually has a son who lives, he's between two cities, but one of them is Hawaii. And his wife has invited us to come and visit at any time. So we're planning, that's one of the 8 million trips we're planning.
Well, that's good for you because I'm visiting family and friends. I originally am from Hawaii.
Oh, are you
and
really?
And I really look forward to going there this time. And I really enjoy the graduation ceremonies because there's just so many flowers.
Yeah.
People adorn each other with flowers, and there's just this huge fragrance in the air that's like nothing ever before.
I'm
and
so looking forward to it.
Strange enough, that's what I'm missing.
I can't ever
get a huge waft of flowers
mm-hmm.
in the air.
Mm-hmm. I had that earlier today, actually. I was walking through the house, and I could smell all these flowers, and I thought, where are they? I don't have any flowers in the house. I need to get flowers.
See,
but that always reminds me of Hawaii.
Yes, and see, gardenias, they have, it's a really nice fragrance,
mm-hmm.
and it's like smelling a whole bunch of gardenias, but it's not overpowering.
Yes. Ooh.
It's not overpowering. It's just really nice, and I really miss that, and so I feel like I want to go back next time during a graduation ceremony just to go.
Yes.
And experience the flowers.
Yes. I'm so looking forward to it.
I know that. And what are some other trips that are exciting for you?
Well, as I said, we're planning
besides the cruise and Hawaii.
Yeah, the jazz cruise is the Dave Koz cruise is the one we're going on in November, and then the smooth jazz cruise is in January. I don't think that we're going to be able to do that because I think it's right after I'm coming back from the graduation. So cruises are always in the air. My husband really, really likes cruising. So we're looking at an Alaska kind of land and water adventure. That'll be a couple of weeks, part of it cruising and part of it, you know, on land and part of it by bus. He wants to go back to Beijing, but I thought as long as we're not going back during the Olympics, it's just going to be too many people. So we're going to be going back to Beijing maybe next year or the following.
Back to Beijing? You mean you went to Beijing before?
Oh, yes, that's where we honeymooned.
Okay.
Well, actually, we honeymooned, of course, it was a cruise from Alaska to Beijing, 2 weeks, and we stopped in Japan, Korea, and somewhere else, Russia.
Where in Japan did you stop at?
Hmm?
Where in Japan did you stop at?
Oh, I'd have
Yokohama or something?
What did you say?
Yokohama?
No.
Okay.
No. A city I hadn't heard of. Two cities, because we made two stops in Japan.
Oh, okay.
But I don't remember the name now. I'd have to look it up in my itinerary. Because we're just there for a day or so. And then we ended the 2 weeks in Beijing, and then we got off the ship and stayed at a hotel in Beijing sightseeing for a week, and then we flew back. So we had a very exciting honeymoon. Lovely and wonderful.
I'm wanting to go to Europe next year.
Ah.
I really want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I actually want to see some of the crop circles.
Ah, yes.
In Britain.
Yes.
And there's just so many crop circles now, right now.
Yes.
That I really want to see them next
year.
There's
so many sacred spaces just throughout the world. So, planning a trip for Brazil. My husband hasn't been to Brazil. So we haven't talked about planning one there yet. But I just joined a new group here, and I just found out that in 2 years the international group is going to be meeting in Brazil. And the president of our local group is Brazilian, and they're planning a trip. So I was like, yay, going to Brazil, back to Brazil.
Have you been?
Yes, I've been to Brazil.
Where?
Rio, São Luís. And Bahia.
Yes, but is it Bahia or Bahia?
Bahia.
Mm.
It's spelled Bahia.
So you speak a little Portuguese?
Oh, no. Not much at all. The thing about me, though, is when I'm in a town or country or whatever with an accent, within hours I've picked it up,
mm-hmm.
and I usually learn a few words. So we learned some words in Beijing, because we had a private driver and tour guide. So our tour guide taught us some Chinese, and we taught her more English. So that was really cool. We had assignments every day and so forth. But see, now when I leave a place, then it's gone. I don't remember till I go back.
When we went to Tokyo, I learned the Japanese, and I spoke some Japanese, and my husband didn't learn anything. He just learned one word. And I said, why aren't you learning any Japanese? And he goes, well, I outsourced it. And he pointed to me.
You, right?
Yeah. In other words, sometimes you feel like somebody else can do it, so why do you have to do it?
Exactly. Delegate.
There's some people that they just not into language. There's
yeah.
some people that are really into language and they can pick it up. And then some people, it's like, don't give me another foreign word, please.
Exactly.
And my husband's that way. He's like, don't give me a foreign word. And I'm like, oh, give me any language. I'd love to learn it.
Yeah, me too. In fact, this new group that I've joined, they have several language groups, and one is Chinese, and I can't wait to go to the classes.
Yeah, the neat part about Chinese is that the word is actually what it really is.
It is. Mm-hmm.
In other words, and I'll give you a little short Chinese lesson, a few minutes, but like butter.
Mm-hmm.
is called cow's oil.
Ah, yes.
Which
yes.
It, that's
so
what
much,
it is.
It makes so much sense.
See, in other words, for English, butter, you wouldn't know what butter
no.
is. Right, you wouldn't know what butter is.
No. Not at all.
And to get fired,
uh-huh.
well, actually, fired is a good one, because fired actually is feeling like you're fired in English, so that's an okay word.
Ah.
But in Chinese, in Cantonese, getting fired means to fry some squid.
Ah.
Because when you fry the squid and you stir fry it, the squid curls up.
Uh-huh.
So in other words, if you get fired, that's how you feel. You're like in the wok.
Yeah.
You're curling up.
Curling up. Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that the great analogy?
It is.
Yeah, it's really good analogies. Whereas I can see fired. Fired is, it's good, but I like the curling is better.
Yes. Yes.
It's more descriptive.
The visual really helps.
Yeah, the visual. Yeah.
It really
yeah,
helps.
The visual.
See the picture.
Yeah, so so the word actually is, and that's actually one reason why I really love Chinese, because the Chinese word, the way it looks, also
mm-hmm.
looks like how it looks in real life.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from pictograms.
Yes.
And then the words actually are the words in how it really is versus a euphemism.
Right, exactly.
And so
exactly.
That's my Chinese lesson for today.
Okay. Yeah. I'm looking forward to taking the classes.
Yeah.
And then my husband's been taking classes. He's been doing the Rosetta Stone program.
Yes.
To learn Chinese over the
last good luck.
Several years.
Hmm? Good luck.
Yeah, right.
Well, thank you for talking with me, Cheryl.
You're welcome. It's great.
And,
it's always.
Yes, and that's Cheryl Neal, Sherryl. What did I say? Oh, I did it again.
Yeah, you don't usually do it.
I did one Cherryl. Why don't you do it, Cheryl?
You did it. Cher. You just said sh.
Why don't you spell your name?
Cherryl Neill.
You do it well because you pronounce it all the time, I'm sure. Thank you so much, Cheryl.
You're welcome.
Have a great weekend, and thank you for being on the show, and thank you for sharing your time with us.
You're welcome, and enjoy the eclipse.
Thank you so much. I'm Emmy Louie, and we're signing off. Namaste.